I asked the earlier service this morning, do you get excited to come to church? And so I ask you the same thing. Or do we thank you? Thank you. Got a thumbs up. Or do we look forward to church with drudgery and skepticism and boredom? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I get excited to come and worship the Lord. Last night, there was some of us praying here, and we were praying for Sunday service, and we were praying for churches in our community, and praying for you and people in other churches, and people that don't go to church, and lots of things, and I was excited to pray. And I'm going to talk for a while about prayer. When I say a while, more than just today. Now, I realize that sometimes people think prayer, boring. I realize that. But brothers and sisters, I assure you, Christians need to pray. And I assure you, prayer changes things. I will show you from Scripture today. And over the course of this, whatever, series, it may be 3, 4, 5, 6 Sundays long, over the course of this series, I will show you biblically how important prayer is. And I hope that by the time today is done, or certainly if not today, by the time our series is done, that prayer has become of highest priority to the people of God. I told you that when Richard and Marie and our delegates and the rest of us got back from conference, this year's conference theme is prayer. Pray. Praying. Yesterday, Richard alluded to, we had a prayer event. Richard invited you all to it here some time ago. We went out to Dana Marie Rose's out north of town. Several Free Methodist churches came together. A number from our church came together. And for some time, 2 to 3 hours, we prayed. And I know that some people think, that sounds boring to me. But I can assure you, God responds to prayer. I will show you biblically what I mean. And I hope that if prayer seems boring to you or has in the past, I hope by the time we are done with this series, you will be longing each day, excited, expectantly, waiting to get into that prayer corner and spend time with Jesus. Spend time with God our Father. I believe prayer is that important. I realize that some people think there's probably other subject matters that are more important that I, the preacher, could talk about. But I think prayer is important. Why? Let me give you 3 points before we go to our scripture for today. Number one, prayer works. Amen? Prayer works. We may not always get every answer we want, but God answers prayer. He wants to hear from His people. I'm going to talk today about Moses, who was a man of God, who is up there on the faith category, to be sure. But God wants to hear from you just as much as He wanted to hear from Moses. Point number one, the reason we're going to talk about prayer for some time is prayer works. God answers prayer. God responds to the prayers of His people. You say, Jim, what are you saying? I'll show you in Scripture. God responds to the prayers of His people. It's not saying he's some puppet on a string and we're pulling his chain. It's not saying that. But God wants His people to pray and He responds to those prayers. So point number one, prayer works. Point number two, prayer is an important part of the life of a believer. It should be one of those spiritual disciplines that we just automatically do. Kind of like breathing. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? You got to breathe. We're going to have to breathe a little more, even while we're here today. Or we're not going to be leaving, at least not on our feet. Prayer is that important. We need, as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to pray. We need to pray in large groups. We need to pray at home. We need to pray with our family. We need to pray alone. We need to pray. And point number three, the reason I'm going to talk about prayer for some time is, I believe, and this is my own personal feeling, but it's not only mine, many people around the nation, prayer is being neglected. In other words, we're not doing it the way we should. We're not doing it enough. We're not doing it often enough. We're not crying out to God as a people, followers of Christ, the way we could. James, as a matter of fact, said a long time ago in James chapter 3 or 4, "You have not because you asked not." And it's the same thing today. You have not because the people of God are asking not. Today's lesson comes from Exodus 32. If you have your Bible, I mentioned already, the topic is Moses and prayer to God. I think that you know the setting, but let me give it to you in case you're not aware. In Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments had been handed out. Okay? God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. They're in the wilderness here, milling about. They haven't built the tabernacle yet. They're still waiting expectantly for God to take them into the promised land. God has summoned Moses back up onto the mountain for the second time. The first couple times he gave him the Ten Commandments. He's now up there conversing with God, getting instructions how to build the tabernacle. And if you've read that in the Old Testament, you know that took some time. So he's up on the mountain, conversing with God face to face. And while he was up there, most of you know this story, the people got impatient. Where is this Moses fellow? And they recruited his brother Aaron to get them something to worship because Moses had left the premises. And so Moses' brother Aaron simply instructed them, take off your earrings, take off your necklaces, give me your gold. And they poured the gold into the fire and they got it all melted down and they formed for themselves the golden calf. I think you remember the story. That's the setting that we get to in Exodus 32:7, where I am going to begin. Thank you. So the story goes on then in Exodus 7, or 32, verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Remember, I just got done saying, Exodus 20, he handed out the Ten Commandments. This is very, very shortly thereafter. He handed out the Ten Commandments. And God is with Moses on the mountain, and he says, they have turned aside quickly. What's the first commandment, class, friends, congregation? Thou shalt have no other gods before you. And they had just formed for themselves a golden calf as their god. And God saw that. Moses couldn't see it. God saw that and he said, get down there because these people have just turned away quickly out of the ways which I told them to go. They have made themselves, God says, a molded calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it. And said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people, and therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation, he said to Moses. You see the setting? God wasn't very happy with the couple of million people he had just rescued out of Egypt. A couple of million people. The Bible says 605,000 men, 20 and up, but there was a couple of million people that he just came out, that he just brought out of Egypt. You know the stories. And now here they are worshiping this golden calf, and he is on the mountain conversing face to face, as it were, with Moses, and he says to Moses, in essence, get out of my way. I'm going to destroy them once and for all, and I'll start over with you. That's the setting. Enter Moses and prayer. Verse 11. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. When was the last time we pleaded with God for something? When I think of the word pleaded, I think of begging. Are you with me? Moses was not beyond begging for the lives of 2 million people. Now listen to me, friends. I'm not beyond begging for the souls of people either. People that have not met Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm not being judgmental. I'm saying there's two classes of people today. Jesus followers and world followers. You say, yeah, but Jim, I believe in God. Jesus followers have committed to follow Jesus. And Jesus is the one himself that said everybody else is on the broad road that leads to destruction. Okay, that's the words of Jesus. That's not the words of Jim. I am not beyond begging for people that are on the broad road to know Jesus. I told the earlier congregation four times this week I was at the local hospital visiting somebody. And I would come home and I would beg God for his eternal destination. I'm not beyond begging either. When I sense somebody's going to hell, you say, Jim, you're not their judge. No, I'm not. But when I get the answer that said, and when the question was, I talked about Jesus, I talked about heaven, I talked about hell, I talked about God, and I said, do you believe any of this? And he said, no. I don't believe any of that, Jim. So I have a pretty good idea he's not right with Jesus. I just get the sense, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not above when I come home to cry out to God, pleading and begging for this man's eternal destination. And we do it here every Saturday night for people of our community that haven't been born again. Why? Not because I'm better than anybody else. I'm not as good as most. I've been redeemed. And when the church has been redeemed, we should be crying out, pleading, begging if necessary, God on behalf of the souls of our neighbors. Amen? That's what the church should be doing. Pleading with God on behalf of the souls of our family who don't know Jesus. On behalf of the souls of our co-workers, our government leaders, our local leaders, our pastors and church people. That is what God has called us to do. And Moses' example here tells me it's okay to beg God on behalf of people's lives. He pleaded with the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord and he said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? He just got done telling Moses, they're your people. And Moses says, God, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Lord, why should the Egyptians speak and say, well, look what he did. He just brought them out in the wilderness to wipe them out. Why should they say that, Lord? And then Moses says something that to me is really quite astonishing in verse 12. In his pleading with God, he cries out to God and he says to God, turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Turn away from this wrath that you've got towards these people, Father God. Turn away from that plan to consume them, to wipe them out. And Moses continues his pleading. Remember? Remember, God. Remember the promises you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Remember? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. He said, remember, Lord, your promises. And we could say the same thing. Remember, Lord, your heart, that you're not willing that any should perish. Remember that, Lord. I'm praying for this man because he don't have any time for you. I'm praying for these people that have been in church their whole lives and they haven't been born again. Remember, Lord, your heart is that none should perish. Moses was not above begging God for the lives of 2 million people. And we, the church, shouldn't be above begging God for people's salvation either. And after he got done praying, verse 14 says, so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? God responded to the prayers of Moses. Prayer changed the course of direction for a couple of million people because God said, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And Moses went on behalf of them and he cried out, oh Lord, turn away from this fierce anger. And the Bible says, the Lord relented. And he didn't consume the people. Now I know, I've heard the arguments and I've made a few of them myself. I know we can argue prayer doesn't work. I've been doing it, see nothing. I've heard the arguments. And let me say two things quickly about that because our time is going quickly. Number one, keep praying. Pray through whatever the situation is. Keep praying. That's number one. Number two, let me just say this. Scripturally speaking, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear. And so if your prayers are not getting answered, address any sin. That's what iniquity is. In our lives, we must address sin in our lives if we expect God to respond to our prayers. So, whatever the reason may be, If we're using the argument, but Jim, he don't answer my prayers, keep praying. And if there is any sin in your life whatsoever, then repent of that, which means turn away from it, confess it. God already knows it. Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear. So there's this barrier to answering prayer if we've got sin in our life. We need to address that. And I know that we can rationalize and say, yeah, but Jim, God has got a course of action. God is going to do what God is going to do, and He's not going to change His plan. He's not going to change His mind. Friends, what did Moses just do? He cried out to God, who said, I am going to consume these people. He wasn't teasing Moses. He meant it. And he cried out to God, and God changed the course of his action. And if you don't believe it with one story, then read the story of Jonah going to Nineveh. He did the same thing when he told Jonah, go tell them nasty Ninevites 40 days and they're toast. And what happened? The king heard that proclamation. He repented in sackcloth and ashes. He told everybody else in Nineveh to do the same thing. And God changed the course of direction for Nineveh. God wants to hear from His people. Prayer changes things. And so we can argue that God doesn't change His plan. And I can remind us that He's not a genie in a bottle. And He's not some puppet on a string. But He responds to the prayers of His people. He really does. And then there's, of course, the lame excuse that I don't have time. That's lame. We're all busy. But if we are too busy to spend time with the Heavenly Father here, do you think He's going to have any time for us in eternity? May very well get to the gates of eternity and He say, depart from me, I don't know who you are. You never had any time for me. To say, I'm too busy to seek the face of God on behalf of my spouse or my family or my parents or my kids or my boss or my pastor or my church or my president or my nation, to say we're or the sick or the elderly or the young or anything else, to say we're too busy is an excuse that is not acceptable for God's people. I need to wrap it up because our time is gone. I just want you to know, when God's people cry out to God in humble, repentant prayer, things happen. Thank you. Things happen. They happen for Kevin, who we listened to last week. They happen for other addicts that we pray for. They happen for other lost people. I have seen people come to Christ in the last moments of their life because we were praying, oh God, don't let them go to hell. Things happen when God's people pray. We must cry out to God. We must be in prayer as individuals, as families, as a church, as a nation we should be. Pastor Les tells us of his praying mother. And the results from a praying mother. Pastor Les tells us while the family of 9 kids would be gathered around the supper table often at night, 9 children and an unbelieving husband, Les's mother would go to the haymow to seek the face of God on behalf of her babies and her unbelieving husband. She would travail in prayer in the haymow. She would cry out to God on behalf of her husband and her babies, that they would know Jesus. And after long periods of time in the haymow with God, she would come back, face looking like Moses, gleaming because she had been with Jesus. And as a result, as the years unfolded, her children began to come to understand the grace and knowledge and accept Christ as their own Lord. Prayer changes things. Art Prescott sat right here in the back row this morning. Just a short time ago, the doctors told him his cancer's taken over. They had told him, you got about 4 months to live, and his cancer got worse, and then they said, you got 2 weeks. That was 2.5 months ago. He was here worshiping with us this morning. Prayer changes things. And I don't know what God burdens you with at night, but when He wakes my wife or I up, and a lot of you, He burdens us with somebody, and we go to Him again in prayer. Our nation is in trouble. If you can think of nothing else to pray for, our nation could use it. Prayer changes things, brothers and sisters. Prayer changes things. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God. His cries to God were pleads. And I'm just asking us, when was the last time we pleaded to God for anything? There's people that need our prayers. There's people lost. There's people that are caught up in sin, in confusion, and there's just people that need our prayers. I asked the earlier service, how in the world, people of God, do we think things like the horrors of Planned Parenthood are going to change if God's people don't pray? How are they going to change if somebody's not praying about it? How is my neighbor, whom I've grown up with my whole life, ever going to even think about Jesus unless I pray and tell him about Jesus? How are lost people going to come to the cross at Calvary and embrace it and repent of their sin and cry out to Christ for salvation if God's people aren't praying for them? How are marriages going to be healed, strengthened, and restored if God's people aren't praying for hurting marriages? And before this series is over, I'm going to quit now because time has passed up now. Before this series is over, I will challenge us from Scripture that it's not just my wife God has called me to pray for, or you, the church, or my grandbabies whom I love, and I pray for them every day, and I pray for you, the church, every day. But Jesus calls us to pray for those who despitefully use us and our enemies too. Are you hearing me? Don't fall asleep on me, friends. We're going to quit. Prayer changes things. You have an enemy? Have you tried praying for them? You have someone despitefully using you? Have you tried pleading with God on their behalf? Not strike them dead either. Praying for them. Move in their life, O God. He challenges His people to pray. And until God's people start praying, why do we expect results? How are we going to expect results? Why would we expect results if we're not praying for our nation, for our churches, for our pastors, for our church leaders, for lost people, for marriages, for our kids, for the elderly, for lonely, for the hurting, for the sick? How do we expect any change to happen if we're not praying? Prayer changes things, friends. I'm going to encourage us for a while to do it. I'm going to encourage us week after week for a while to pray like you've never prayed before. Some of you are here today. You might want to start. You might feel, I just need to start with myself, Jim. I haven't got things worked out with God myself. Then start with yourself. Cry out to God on your behalf. God, Father God, forgive me. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I need you. I got no prayer life. I got no sense of eternal direction. Don't even understand what my purpose is. Maybe your prayers are to start with you. And maybe He's put somebody else on your heart. Neighbor, spouse, kids, parents, friends, boss, lost folks, presidents, governors, mayors, whoever. And so I'm going to encourage us and I'm going to challenge us over the next weeks to pray, friends. To pray like we've never prayed before. Our nation and the people of the world need prayer like we've never prayed before. We're going to sing one last song. It's called Crown Him with Many Crowns. It's in your book on page 234, and it'll be on the big screen. And while we're leading, I'm going to lead you in this song, and while we're singing this song, if you want to come and kneel at the altar and just pray, or if you want to come and have Pastor Marie or Pastor Richard pray over you, Pastor Les is here too, if you want to just be prayed over, then come and let them pray over you. Don't be embarrassed about that. Prayer is good for us and we're called to do it. And if you want to pray at the altar, come and pray. If you want to be prayed over, come and be prayed over. Let's seek the face of the Lord together. If you've heard nothing else today, friends, hear this. Prayer changes things. When we come to the Lord God for the first time in humble, repentant prayer, crying out to Jesus Christ for salvation, He will change you. That's the first prayer that changes things. When we cry out to Him on behalf of other people and their hurts and their pain and their sorrow and their suffering and their lostness, God intervenes in miraculous ways. Prayer changes things. And so may we be a people of prayer today and always. May we be a people that seek His face often, pleading in prayer. Marie is going to close us in prayer today, friends, and I pray that your walk with Jesus is one filled with prayer. Let's pray today to close.
Father in heaven, we thank you for these good words today. Let them remain in our hearts and our minds. Help us to pray always, continually, for those things you bring to mind, for the person crossing the street in front of our car, to our closest friend and neighbor. Lord, give us a heart to pray for your people. We ask, Father, that you send these folks home now with your protection and your peace and with a love for the world, Lord, that will be evident. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.